join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, June 30th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning, I'm going to take up some of Ryan's time today.
Okay.
I didn't approve that.
I want to announce that the Mediapolis School District is going to have a special election on September the 8th. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. They're going to have two public measures on their ballot. One's going to be their physical plant and equipment levy, their PEPL, and the other one's going to be a revenue purpose statement.
A what?
Revenue purpose statement. We'll only have one precinct location open. That's all I plan on doing. It will be Mediapolis City Hall. And the ballots will be available for absentee voting on August the 3rd or sooner, as soon as we can get the ballots and stuff.
What's the date of that again?
September the 8th, it's the day after Labor Day. Okay. And the other thing is 2020 general election. We will start accepting absentee ballot request forms on July the 6th, next Monday. However, ballots will not be mailed out until October the 5th. So if somebody submits their absentee request form and wonders where their ballot is at, we cannot officially mail those out until October the 5th. And another thing is we now have our new election website, and it's up and running. We still have things to add to it and tweak it and everything else. We'll constantly be adding stuff to that. But the website is at dmcountyelections.iowa.gov. And Colin was going to create a link on the website, because on our website, underneath our government, there's like elections and voting. And I believe you were going to create that link so that whenever that...
We redirected all the elections and voting to go to the new website.
Okay, so anything that's on our website that says elections and voting, if they click on that, it should automatically direct them to the new website. And it's very user-friendly. It has all the information. It has a lot of links to the Secretary of State's website for, you know, frequently asked questions and all kinds of stuff. But then under, there's also some headlines on there, and we're going to have all of our recent elections listed on there so that you can find out what's going on for those elections. And we've got our absentee request form on there, and it's the one that has all of the important dates on it, because then that way if somebody prints that out, they can see what all those important dates are. If they're right in front of them, they don't have to look for them. So, and also when people start submitting those forms for the general election, if there's family members, you know, if there's two people or four people in your family, you can send all those request forms in the same envelope. You don't have to send them in individual envelopes. So just to save yourself postage, and if anybody wants one of those forms, they can either print it off of our website or they can call us and we will mail them the request forms too. So there's all of those options. So, because we don't expect the Secretary of State to be able to mail out, do the mass mailing again, because the legislators put a kibosh to that. So we're going to be depending on the voters themselves and the residents to request and push, and you know, all they have to do is call us and we'll send them a request form, or they can print it off the website because it has our address on there that they can submit those and send them to us. So
okay. The precincts, cutting precincts, you only had two places to vote.
That won't be happening during the general. The general, it worked well for the primary because we usually don't have a large turnout anyway, but for the general, we could never do that. We might be able to combine a couple of precincts, but there is just too many that go to the polls to vote. You know, I'm hoping with the pushing the absentees that we might have more people vote absentee. I think we're more prepared for that. You know, we can handle that. Yeah, I'm just hoping that more people will decide to vote absentee, you know, especially with everything that's going on. We don't know what it's gonna have, what's gonna happen in 4 months, because we're still 4 months away from that. And just to keep everybody safe, and if anybody has any qualms, you know, vote absentee. And we will get those ballots, because like I said, by slowly getting these in over the next 3 months, we can add them in and everything. It's once we mail those out, then that's when our quick turnaround is, that we have to have them mailed back out in 24 hours. And if you get 1,000 of those in one day, that's very difficult on the office to be able to get that done. Because after the Secretary of State did that first Friday that we got swamped with those, we were here until 7 o'clock that night. Following Monday, we were expecting to be here till 9 o'clock, because iVoters was gonna shut down and do some maintenance. They said, you know, at 9 o'clock, shut down, and quarter after 8, we got this big thing saying across our screens that they were gonna shut down in 15 minutes, and we're all going, that's not 9 o'clock. so we were out of here by 8:30 that night, so. But yeah, if everybody just starts submitting their request forms, at least we can gradually get those, slowly get them added in, and then that way when we're ready to start processing them, we can do batches at a time in preparation for the October the 5th mailing date. So, and then after that, that's when everything hits into high pitch, because that's the same day that everybody can start coming into the office and absentee voting at the counter in person, and that usually increases. So at that time, we will probably be, we'll see how things go, but most likely we'll probably be having a couple of temporary workers come in just to man the counter so the rest of us can enter in all the request forms and process the ballots to be mailed out. And one last thing too is the residential cleanup ends this Thursday, July the 2nd. So this is the last week for the rural residential cleanup. Okay?
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Terry, with everything going on, you're probably going to need help at the polls.
Yes, that's just it. I sent out letters to all of our current poll workers. I do a yearly survey to all my poll workers to find out who's available for elections this year. Well, in January, February, when we sent this out, you know, everything was still going along fine. And so we are going to send out a second letter to all of our poll workers, finding out, okay, are you still going to be available in November? And so most likely we are going to need more poll workers. So anybody that squawks about, you know, they were slow or anything else, now's their time to step up and be a poll worker. But I also expect all my poll workers to be respectful of all voters.
Well, if you need any help, let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. Colin Hurst, IT.
Keeping busy like always. We did a pretty large upgrade to our storage array last night for the county storage, so we had some downtime, had a maintenance window for that. Was here pretty late. Other than that, nothing really new to report. I'm pretty excited about the new elections website, though. I think everything rolled out pretty well. And Terry did a pretty phenomenal job of getting that company worked with all the information they needed, and everything rolled out pretty smooth on it, I think. So.
Congratulations, thanks to both. You sure that really is user friendly. That's nice.
That is nice. Yep, I agree.
Doug Irvine, Correctional Center.
Good morning. The only thing new to report is tomorrow we're going to open up for fingerprinting for the public. In the past here, we've been just fingerprinting for the nursing program in hopes to get them out so they could get to work. But now we're opening it up for the rest of the fingerprinting starting tomorrow. So we'll see how that works and just play it by ear there. And if the governor puts more restrictions on, we'll change that. But it's been a long time since we've been doing fingerprinting, and people need it for daycare and whatnot. So population's running right around that 70 mark. It's 71 this morning. The prison system is working extremely well. We do test them for COVID before going to prison, and it's worked pretty flawlessly, actually. And so we're getting those people shipped out fairly fast. It's taken about probably takes an extra week, but that's pretty good, all considering.
That's pretty good, all considering.
Pretty good.
So what do you do when they test positive?
Well, the prisons won't take them, and we'll have to quarantine them for at least 14 days.
At your place?
Yeah.
So what happens when...
I'm going to try to get them into GRMC, knock on wood. We have not had that yet.
So what happens when the police bring one to you?
We do not accept them. They'll go out to GRMC.
Take them to a nurse.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea. GRMC has the facilities to manage that.
Doug, I see where you're going to have your 20-hour in-service training in September, the one that we're supposed to have earlier this year.
Yes.
It's going to be in September.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are getting back to going, and the jail inspectors waived all that training because we haven't been able to get our yearly training in. So, but that's going to kick back in, like you say, in September. We do have some fire training that's actually coming up later this month. So everything's getting back to, everybody's getting trained, getting their training hours in.
So that COVID probably wouldn't attack anybody that was going to be in jail, because the rioters don't get it, protesters don't get it.
Yeah, it's a little hard in the jail to keep that 6-foot spacing, but we're doing the very best we can. I think we got a good system in place. They can all go to one unit, be quarantined in there for 10, 14 days before they're put into our general population. So it's the best we can do. It's not perfect, but there's nothing else we can do unless we want to build another jail to house people right at the beginning and quarantine them there. But
it'd have to be a big one.
It would have to be a good one, yes. But everything's working real well. I think we got some good measures in place to keep that under control.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you for that. I think I think you're right. I think you are doing a good job out there.
Thank you.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. I guess a couple quick project updates. Iowa City Road's done, open to traffic and completed. So it turned out well. Gear Avenue is slowed down a little bit. Contractor had some fairly significant equipment issues last week that set them back just a little bit. So hopefully they'll be able to do their final paving this week, is the goal. Thursday is actually their goal right now. And so that's moving. Upper Flint closed on Monday, yesterday. So it is closed down now, and guessing the contractor maybe started removals today, but I doubt they started yesterday. I didn't get out there. Bridges are moving along. First deck pour could be next week. There's signs of that. So, and then that crew would move over. There's only one crew out there right at the moment. So I'm assuming that crew would then move over and start working on the other deck and going from there. And then there's some grading and asphalt and stuff. So there's work to do. Our guys are still moving, doing mowing and stuff. We are still operating within certain restrictions and such, so it is not quite as efficient still as it could be, trying to keep guys from jumping from equipment to equipment as much as possible, and slows things down, like mowing or rock hauling, because when a guy's gone, you don't just put somebody else in the equipment, and so it's not as efficient, I would say. But they are still going, and I would mention, I know Tom mentioned it last week, I think, or I don't remember when I talked to you, Tom, but when we talked at some point, so I think you guys probably got a DOT memo talking about revenue. I don't blame you, you didn't read it, because I didn't read it all the way through, basically, if you really want to read all through, in the end, what it really says is that they're very, very, very rough estimate is that over the course from now through the next fiscal year, so kind of over a 12-month period, they hope to see our revenues decrease because of what's going on by about 10% over that whole time period. And that's, I told Tom this, I don't give a lot of, there's no way they can be accurate. I mean, I give them credit, they needed to put something out, but I don't know how you ever estimate something like that, obviously. So we'll just keep an eye on it. 10% of those revenue sources is probably very roughly 300,000 plus to us. We'll see. We got some stronger than expected revenues in the fiscal year that's just ending. So hopefully we'll see some balance there. Probably not 100% of a balance, but we'll keep an eye on it. Probably talk about this quite a bit more as we get closer to the fall before we get, so because we're planning on some significant bids to throw out this winter for work next spring. So it's a changing landscape. We'll keep an eye on it. It probably will have an impact. It's just a matter of what it is. So.
Thanks, Brian. Ken Hyman, Community Services.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yesterday afternoon, Dina Garrison with Hope Haven sent an email, and I forwarded it on to you guys. Basically that Hope Haven Area Development, in partnership with ADS and Young House Family Services, will be opening what they're calling River Cross, a dual diagnosis program to treat individuals with mental illness and substance use disorders. And they're now saying it'll be August when they open. They were hoping to open in July. Now they're saying August. So they gave us a program description and some admission criteria for the new dual diagnosis program. So just some information. I'd be happy to pass it on to you. I'd like to do that too. So that's all I have for right now.
Thanks, Ken. Zach James, Land Use.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a while, sir. Had stuff come up just about every Tuesday here for the last month, so I haven't been able to make it. We've been pretty busy here over the last couple months. I know Jared's been giving updates, but we had a couple larger subdivisions that are a little more complicated, and a couple zoning permits as well that were a little complicated that I think we've kind of worked through, or at least close to working through. And the last couple weeks have been a little bit quieter now that we've kind of got through some of those, and we haven't had as many inquiries here in the last couple weeks either. So that's freed up a little time for Jared to focus more on some of the updates that we were working on to the ordinances. It's kind of got pushed to the side for a while. So we're hopeful that we can get through those and get all those ordinances updated, because we were hoping to get that done by the end of the fiscal year, but we're going to miss that. So. Other than that, I guess I'll say thank you to Tom. I think Jared probably mentioned something too, that we did find out our persistence with our legislators came through on changing that language in that House file for how membership of zoning and board of adjustment was done. So thanks, Tom, for your help there and
thank you.
Being persistent. And I think that'll be really helpful and really good for Des Moines County. So other than that, we do have an item on the agenda. It's kind of a unique one. We might have one subdivision here possibly next week or the week after as well. So, and I'm hopeful Jared's on the line, because I can work my way through this item, but he would know a lot more than I will. So, okay, good.
Thanks, Zach. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. We are keeping busy. During the COVID, I think I have told you guys before, with everyone kind of being hyper-vigilant with everything going on, we've seen a big decrease in our incidents and accidents. We are kind of starting to see them come back up as everyone's starting to get out more active and things getting done. So I just want to remind everyone, you know, it does pay to be a little bit cautious or hyper-vigilant, you know, when you're out there doing the jobs. And hopefully we won't see much of a rise if we can get everything back under control. But it is starting to perk up. It's funny that while that was going on, the insurance companies had even put out information that nationwide they were seeing a decrease in all that, because everyone was hyper vigilant, very focused on what they were doing, because they had these concerns and they weren't sure how it was going to affect them. Well, now everyone's kind of getting back to that normal mindset and we're starting to see increases again. So want to try to keep those under control and keep everyone thinking about it. So we started our training this month, got back to that, and we'll be doing it every month from here on out. So at least as long as Krista keeps everything down for us on the other end.
Well, I could never figure out if we stay out, we don't get contact, the germ didn't go away, it's still there. So the sooner we get exposed, soon as we get it over with, don't we?
I'll leave that up to Krista. I've got my own personal thoughts on that, but we'll just leave that alone.
Well, there is some thought of that. You know, they're looking at the vaccines. That the idea with the vaccine is that you build up antibodies, and the idea is that people who have gotten this would build up antibodies, but it's not 100% sure yet whether those antibodies are going to prevent us from getting the disease again. You know, could we get the virus again, possibly? I think they're still working on that, and that's one of the questions that they have. You know, they talk about herd immunity, people getting it, and then once they have it, then it won't spread as much. So I think it's still a fluid situation, and I don't think they've got all the research done on that yet as to whether or not those antibodies do protect us. We are doing, on that note, though, our public health has started doing serology testing, which is the testing for those antibodies. So we're going to start with our first responders in the community to see, like the fire department, they're set up to have testing done next week to see if they've had the COVID and if they have antibodies.
Can I interrupt you, Krista?
Sure.
Just so everybody knows, this is Krista Pogamiller, public health director.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I apologize.
Yep. So we are doing their serology testing to see, you know, who has been exposed and who has developed antibodies for COVID. Again, hoping that those antibodies prevent people from getting the disease the virus the second time. So we're going to start with the fire department and then work with law enforcement and see if we can get all of our first responders and law enforcement for the community done. That was a project that's been rolled out by Iowa Department of Public Health. The testing will go to the state hygienic lab, and there will be no cost. And those supplies then are supplied to us through the state. So
That's a blood test?
It is a blood test, yep.
Last week when the governor had a little press conference out at the hospital anyway, so Bob and Jim were talking too much, so I couldn't get out of here in time. Anyway, so
I was a little late.
Getting out there, and I heard Dr. McCoy, I think it's what he said, that they're showing about 10% people have those antibodies. What was he talking about, the serology test, or does that show up in the regular tests? Did you hear
it?
I
didn't hear that conversation, okay. But the PCR testing does not show the antibodies. They're two separate tests. So the ones that goes through the nares tells you if you currently have it.
Okay.
The blood test is what would show the antibodies,
okay,
to show if you've been exposed at any time. And again, with the thought being that if you're exposed to it, your body builds up antibodies, it's those antibodies that it would detect. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to hear his whole comments. So.
What's that test called?
It's a serology test, the antibody test.
The body will build up an immunity to it even though it's not exposed?
No, you have to be exposed, but the idea would be that if you've been exposed, they can pick up. So if you currently don't have the tests, so if we did the nasal swab and you're not currently active with COVID, it would be negative. But if we did this blood test and 2 months ago you had COVID, it would show up in the blood. So one could be negative and the other one could be positive. So
I think the CD said that they think 35% of the people that have it are asymptomatic and don't realize they have it.
So that's the reason that with the serology testing, in the hopes that the antibodies can build up a resistance to it, that they're hoping that those people that have had it, that will prevent that continued spread, because the more people that have antibodies, they're more resistant, so, yeah.
So is there any number that, statistic that says when this virus got here, that some of us might have got it before there was all the attention on it?
That could be, and I think, though, the serology testing will tell that, because a lot of people have said, gee, I was really sick in January, February, and then haven't been sick since. So I think this will tell them whether or not they've had this, because those antibodies would be in their system.
Well, Carol was so sick, she called off Christmas, and that doesn't happen. And for 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I mean, I think I had it, too. I came down and gave it to Jim. I think he's had it.
Yep.
It's
bad stuff.
It'll be interesting to see how many people do come back. We've done some testing, and all those serologies so far have been negative. And a lot of those people were same thing, very sick in January, February. You know, there's a lot of other things out there. You know, sometimes
I was talking to my vet about it. Of course, need to say when I had something sick.
Did you rule out rabies?
Going. we had a problem in the hog house. You know, it had a lot of hogs, a lot of buildings. And whenever something came up, we either hung ropes from the ceiling so we get the saliva from all of them in the pen, or we came in, did a blood test, took blood out of all those in the pen. And so needless to say, when I was talking about how sick we were, he said, did you happen to draw blood when you went to the doctor? Because Carolyn, the doctor. Mm-hmm. And we said, no, I don't. But he said his brother and his wife in Nebraska had the same thing, about the same time. Terrible sick. I can see why, if you have anything wrong, you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. That is, she just had an awful time breathing. It was nasty stuff.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some people get it and they're completely asymptomatic, and other people are just, it really hits them very, very hard. The good thing is, though, they have more drugs now that they can use, medications that they can use, the remdesivir and dexamethasone, and different medications that they're showing are helping decrease the length of time people are in the hospital anyway, so hopefully decreasing some of that, those symptoms. So that's a good thing. Currently in our county, we have 84 cases, so we're continuing the investigations. You know, there's, again, a fluid situation, so our guidance as far as what we do for contact tracing, we're continuing that. Some of our follow-up has changed a little bit, so we're continuing with the mitigation, trying to make sure that those people that are positive out in the community, that, you know, they're getting that education from our public health nurses, not to make sure that they're, you know, staying within the isolation. We contact anyone that they've come in contact with, because we don't want that to spread. So even if someone's asymptomatic and has been exposed, so we work very hard with them to make sure that, you know, we're limiting that exposure. Schools recently received some new guidance for opening, and we're meeting, Gina Hard and myself are meeting with the superintendents tomorrow, kind of discussing their reopening plans. And then there's a new guidance coming out for colleges. We've been working with the Iowa Department of Public Health. I've had meetings, webinar meetings with them, and they've been putting together guidances for the colleges. So we're hoping that our community college guidance will come out sometime today yet. You know, to help them, because they're looking at opening this fall, and Iowa Department of Public Health wants to make sure that they have guidance as far as, you know, testing, and should there be any concerns, you know, as far as how to treat a potential of an outbreak or anything such as that. So, and other than that, it's just the end of our grant year, and we're kind of wrapping up our grants for public health, so just a busy time of the year. And we are still doing screening for the courthouse, so.
Thanks, Krista.
You're welcome.
Who we got on?
First of all, here's Rodney Bleasner of maintenance.
Rodney Bleasner, maintenance.
Good morning. We got a lot of stuff going on, but nothing new to report today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney.
Chris Lee, conservation.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me all right?
We can.
Good. Different computer today. Okay, so as we have been for months, we are incredibly busy. Parks are full with the holiday weekend coming up. I would like to remind everybody that even though fireworks are legal in Iowa, they are not legal in county parks. And so we will have a zero tolerance policy for fireworks in our parks. So just keep that in mind. The river just kind of hovers right there at that mark of being just a little too high to put docks out. I know some of the little ramps that we have are still somewhat accessible, but I know we get a lot of questions about boat ramps. There are boat docks anyway at those ramps. We can't put those out when the river's at or near flood state. It will need to be get down to certain levels, and that varies per ramp. And it needs to be falling before we will pull the trigger and put docks out. With the way that river behaves anymore, it doesn't take a lot of rain in the watershed to send that river flying up in a hurry. And those docks are quite expensive. So we've been caught too many times either not being able to get our docks, or having them float off the poles, or having them getting damaged with a river that comes up too fast before we can get there and get them picked up. So we're a little gun shy in putting those out. Our newsletter comes out next week. And in that, we do publish the river stages at which we use as our trigger points for putting those docs out. So if you don't get our newsletter, go to our website and just enter your email and sign up. We put a newsletter out quarterly. We try to update folks on what's going on with our department, and we always try to highlight a park or some feature of our operations. This month, we're highlighting those boat ramps and river accesses, and those will let you know what river stages we put docks out. We are in the process of hiring a new park ranger with the resignation that we had. We have a board meeting tomorrow, so we'll be going over that then. Summer camps also start up tomorrow. We're excited about that, even though they look very, very different from what they were in the past. We are still having them kind of on a limited basis with a limited number of participants, and those start this week and will run through the rest of this month and into, I believe, maybe the first week of August. And then the only other thing is we have had some issues with horses up at Big Hollow. There's been a number of instances where we've had riders out on our trails immediately following some rain, and we've got serious damage on our trails. We've had them ride through our campground, which isn't allowed. And so the damage is such that we're likely to have a conversation with the board on some policy stuff regarding that and how to better manage that issue. I don't think it's the horse riding community in general. I think there's just a small minority of riders that are going out there and riding when they shouldn't be. But we don't want horses or bicycles even out on our trails when they're too wet. If you're going to leave marks in the trail, please stay off them. And it's hard enough to maintain the trails as they are just with the sheer amount of foot traffic that we get. But you put couple thousand pound animal on there. We literally have spots on the trail. I took a tape measure out there that the horse prints are 6 and 7 inches deep. And so for like 100-yard stretches of the trail. And so we can't have that. So we'll be working on a better way to manage that situation coming up in the future. But it's just a product of parks being busy. We love the people who are out using our parks and visiting our trails. We just kind of have to strike that balance between maintenance and the high use. So I think that's it for today.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
I have Jared on here. So do you want to see if he has anything else to add to Zach?
Jared Lazarick, land use.
I don't have anything else other than what Zach said. Like I said, we'll keep moving forward on the land use ordinance updates. More time to work on that lately, so hopefully the next month or so I'll be able to move forward on that. We're thankful how things appear to have worked out with that state legislation with the zoning commission membership. So keep our eye on that just to make sure follow as that progresses and becomes final. So I don't have anything else.
Thanks, Jared.
Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Good morning. I am happy to announce that the Des Moines County Clerk's Office has been able to comply with the COVID-19 safety checklist that was issued from State Court Administration. So that has allowed us to open to the public in advance of the official court offices opening on July 13th. So I just want to say thanks to everyone who helped us get that put in place. Of course, we have the hallways and the courtrooms, as well as my offices staged to maintain the 6-foot social distance and lots of safety protocols that we're complying with. So I'm really happy about that. And I just wanted to say a huge thank you to the Board of Supervisors and the Maintenance Department.
Thank you. Quick question. We're screening people at the door. Does that need to continue for the courts?
Well, I would say yes. The ultimate decision lies with you folks as far as, how long you're willing to place somebody down there. but I think that it's an extra layer, and it helps maintain the safety of the public as well as the workers and staff in the county building.
Okay, thank you, Jackie.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
I agree with her 100%.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning, everyone. Staying busy, obviously, now with the courts open. We're starting to proceed with some of the pretrial events that will be occurring, namely discovery depositions. I know we've all been busy with defense attorneys trying to get those set up. We'll be trying to do as many of them as we can at jail, where the defendants are incarcerated and all of the witnesses are solely law enforcement. We may be getting with Terry on some of our bigger cases where we have lay witnesses to request the use of the supervisor's room, just simply because it's big enough to social distance. We're also working with other agencies that have bigger rooms. I know one of the attorneys has a case that actually has four co-defendants, which means those co-defendants, their attorneys, witnesses, and I know we're working with actually the arresting agency to see if they can provide the space for that. Also currently just trying to make sense of the new statute that signed into law on the 25th, changing fines, changing the way the jail will be seeking restitution for corrections fees because it will no longer be restitution. Hoping to meet with Doug and Sheriff Johnstone on that to discuss how we're going to proceed. I've actually done 3 in-person court hearings last week. I had 3 motions to suppress hearings in the third floor courtroom. Everything went very, very well. It went very smoothly. I know we're still doing court service day as much as possible via GoToMeeting or by phone conference, but I anticipate that changing over the next few weeks. Not just getting ready for some sense of normalcy.
Lisa, a question I forgot to ask Jackie. The courts are open now for non-jury criminal legal proceedings, right?
Correct.
And we were able to open that a little early. If things go well, would you be able to open early for other court procedures? Proceedings?
That will be entirely up to the Supreme Court.
Okay. Right now, they just agreed to open it up for what it's opened up for, the non-jury proceedings.
Yes, and not all counties have done it. Some counties are just waiting until the July 13th date. But that was the only caveat, is if you met the requirements, you could open up for criminal non-jury proceedings. I know juveniles are still taking place by phone. Like I said, I know court service day is primarily either go to meeting or phone conference. I know we have a probation violation, I think, yesterday that's going to be set for an evidentiary hearing in person. I think they're trying to avoid getting a lot of people in the courthouse for things that are really going to be routine and take only just a few minutes. But I think things where it's going to be a contested hearing with evidence taking, they're ready to get back into the courtroom.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep.
That's all I have.
Didn't miss anybody? Either of you gentlemen have anything?
No.
No. COVID-19 update. I think Krista took us pretty much through that. You know, before we're down, I think we've got a Zoom meeting this afternoon with the Emergency Operations Center, and Des Moines County has 84 cases, but we have 64 recovered, mm-hmm. the last I'd heard. So I think Krista, Public Health, and Gina with Emergency Management are doing a fine job. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we ask our COVID-19 update. We discuss in each week about that. Have we had anybody turned away that showed up with a fever or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've not seen any. People are bringing more masks in, and I'm not really there. As far as I've heard, there's not been anyone that's refused to wear a mask. People are being very compliant with it. I think it's just become a routine everywhere, so people come in, they expect to be screened, expect to have temps done, and expect to wear a mask.
Chris, what's the travel restrictions for the state of Iowa on this now?
There is no travel restriction for the state of Iowa. The only Iowa Department of Public Health says that if you have traveled internationally, that you have to quarantine for 14 days. I know there's other states that are putting some travel restrictions in if you've gone to some of the hot spots like Florida, Texas, and those type of things, but that's not been restricted in Iowa at this time.
Are they still, or did they leave that testing station out at West Burlington? Is that still open?
It is still open. It's shorter hours, I think. I think they said 8 to 2, but they've shortened up the hours, but they are still open at this point.
Okay, thank you. I don't know, the courts are working. I guess I would do this week by week, but I would say we keep the screening in place for at least another week.
Yeah.
And
if it doesn't bother Chris's operation,
you live with that?
I think we're fine. We've got another part-time staff that's helping us, and thank you to Terry and her staff for helping us out with breaks. Giving that staff breaks helps us out so that, you know, we're not bringing a additional staff over to give Maya a break occasionally. So it's working well. I think we're fine with it.
Okay.
And remember, every pandemic always has a second spike. So no matter how good we are, we should be expecting that second spike. So kind of keeping things in place might be a really good idea.
Troublemaker.
Sorry.
Correspondence.
I have none.
Received a discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $1,159,849.33.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $452.09.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have the recorder's fiscal 21 designation of official depository. I hereby designate Two Rivers Bank and Trust as the official depository for the funds of the Office of the Des Moines County Recorder of Deeds Registrar of Vital Statistics. This designation is for fiscal year July 1st through June 30th, 2021. The dollar amount for the maximum deposit is $150,000.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have the treasurer's fiscal 21 list of depositories. The following is a list of depositories for the treasurer's office for the period July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. It is being submitted for your approval in accordance with Chapter 12C.2 of the Iowa Code. The Farmers and Merchants Bank and Trust Burlington with a limit of $20 million. Two Rivers Bank and Trust Burlington with a limit of $15 million. Danville State Savings Bank in local office in Danville, limit of $5 million. The Mediapolis Savings Bank, limit of $12 million. Iowa Public Agency Investment Trust, $16 million. Great Western Bank, Burlington, Iowa, $8 million. The Farmers Savings Bank, Burlington Local Office, $5 million, and Midwest One Bank, Burlington, Iowa, $5 million.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have a resolution to approve waiver of review of preliminary plat for the Celtic Crossing subdivision. Jared, do you want to address this or Zach?
I'll let Jared address it, then if I need to jump in, I can, but I think he'll cover it much better than I would.
I'm going to add with getting out of the legal decision for good to go and that, and so the information we need for the permit.
Jared, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
All right, thanks, Jesse.
Oh, he's on the phone.
Oh.
Maybe he doesn't know your phone.
Jared? Yoo-hoo. Jared, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did we talk about subdivision?
You got volunteered to discuss the resolution on the preliminary subdivision.
Sorry, I just had a land use call, actually, nothing major, but,
No problem.
So, yeah, this is for the Celtic Crossing, so basically it's a situation where the developer, is working with the city of West Burlington to annex the vast majority of the property that they own up Washington Road. And, as I understand it right now, that's in the process of being reviewed, at the Secretary of State's office, so that the, you remember, we had that resolution, we brought forward for you a couple months ago, just, noting that you were in approval of that annexation, for West Burlington. And so that was part of that process to get all that paperwork, ready for, having the state review that annexation. So that I believe should be the standard process they go through, and based on the time anyone else submitted, I believe that should be finalized at some point in July. So that will take care of all but two of the lots in the subdivision on the preliminary plat that was submitted for Celtic Crossing. And we had determined, based on the fact that only two lots would remain, and some characteristics of those lots, which I'll go into in a second here, but basically the conclusion being that, given that there's only two lots that will remain in the county, we feel it would be appropriate to consider those to be a minor subdivision, and we would recommend waiving the review of the preliminary, since the two lots for the minor would not necessitate having a preliminary, and the remainder of the lots would all be annexed by West Burlington. So basically the characteristics I'm referring to are the two lots that would remain are both along a paved county road, both have access from the road, and one has an existing house on it already. And then, of course, the utilities will be served along that road as well. So it's essentially just having that one lot with the house on it, and then one additional lot that we could potentially develop in the future to the north. So I think that's, under the circumstances, it seems like a more efficient way of proceeding through this today. But it's not ideal when only a portion of it is going to be annexed, and that's what was submitted on the preliminary, but I think under the circumstances, since there would only be those two lots left in the county, it makes more sense to just have that when we get a final plat for those two. So, I don't know if Zach had anything else to add on that.
It's clear that, so they've submitted a preliminary plat to West Burlington for review and approval, so we would just waive that, and then they will submit a separate subdivision for those additional two lots then that
remain in the county. Yeah, I think that wasn't clear, so they are in the process of reviewing that, yep. That now. I believe it was approved, they're recommended for approval by their Planning and Zoning Commission last week, and then tomorrow it would be on their city council agenda. So they are going through their preliminary plat process, given that because of the nature of a multi-lot development, it does fit with the requirements for a preliminary. So just to be clear, that is going through that review process, but with the city, with the knowledge that is going through the annexation process, and will all be served by city road and utilities.
And it was a voluntary annexation, and the county's already agreed to that. So,
correct.
You're still looking for a approval of the.
We need a motion to approve the resolution.
And I make that motion.
I'll second that.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Okay, we have a resolution approving issuance of general obligation loan agreement anticipation project note not to exceed $300,000.
Move to approve.
Second.
This is the project note for capital spending for a line of credit. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Resolution approving issuance of a general obligation loan agreement anticipation note not to exceed $1 million. And this is for the county's insurance program.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a fireworks permit for Spirit Hobble for the 4th of July. Everything is as usual in order from the auditor's office.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a fireworks permit for 34 raceways. For the 3rd of July, I was happy to see those guys got to reopen.
Yep. Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have personnel actions, two personnel actions for the secondary roads. We have Rebecca Purchase, promotion to administrative assistants. Her previous rate was $42,072, the new rate is $51,000. And we have Adriana Weichert, secretary office manager, rate of $40,000.
Move to approve both.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have reports. We have the recorder's report of fees collected for fiscal year 1920. Out of curiosity here, it's a UTV permit worth $6,525. We have minutes for the regular meeting of June 23rd, 2020.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
Have none.
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items?
I have none.
Committee reports?
Have none.
I had a, Iowa Workforce meeting with, New Mississippi Valley Regional Workforce. We're just trying to get everything in line for July the 1st, when it, changes. Not much to report on there. Then I had a juvenile detention and, meeting. And I don't know, it looks like our juvenile days are going down. In 2000, basically year 18, we had, 1,200 days in the jail. And in 19, we had 1,182. And this year, we've only got 889. And I don't know if that's due to the pandemic we got going on, or if the kids are just getting better. They're just not getting out. And so that's saving the county a little, bit of money.
We can certainly hope.
We'll be positive on that one and say that's exactly what's going on.
Functional behavior.
Their parents are still going at it.
Yeah.
So, but, and we are going to, we let the bid out for a little over $43,000 to put a new roof on the detention center, on juvenile detention center down there. And then I had a Southeast Iowa Crime Commission, and everything's going pretty good there. We had one car that got wrecked. Gal rear-ended somebody that stopped, and we had to replace that car. And they're going all now to Ford Tauruses. We're getting Chevy and Palace, so now they're moving all to Ford Tauruses because of the way the cages and everything go in, and comfort. So that's what they're claiming. And so they're getting ready to go on that, what is it, firearm training?
That FAT simulator?
Yeah, the FAT simulator, yeah. They're starting to get moving on that. It's a little slow this year because of the COV-19. And did Burlington purchase one of them?
If they haven't yet, they are purchasing one. I don't know if it's the FATS system. That's a name brand.
Yeah.
But something similar to it. I don't know if they made that purchase yet.
They had mentioned that maybe Burlington had one of them and didn't know how the training was going to go for the sheriff's department, if they were still going to use the crime commissioner, if they was going in with the sheriff's department. So.
Yeah, and I don't know how the crime commission, we had that last year,
yeah,
or earlier this year actually, and works great.
Works great.
It's a great system.
Yeah. So, but they're getting that training to the rest of the sheriff's departments around. And that's all I had.
Thanks, Jim. I attended COBCO, the City County Health Insurance Board meeting in Centerville. We renewed the contract with the employee life insurance, and we re-elected the same slate of officers. So I had public input. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right, my fault. I had a chance, didn't tell you, but I did attend a DCAT meeting on Matone. I just have to remember going down the road, otherwise I'll never forget it.
You were driving while you were at the meeting?
I pulled over.
And you, oh, that, attaboy.
Now, how could he be going down the road and have the meeting like he said, and then he said he pulled over?
Believe me, I pulled over. I do not get along on the phone.
Since how we have limited space in the courtroom for public input, if anybody from the public would like to ask a question or make a comment, You can email the board at supervisor, the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We will give you 2 minutes. So anybody that would like to make a comment has time to send us an email or give us a phone call.
Sure. It tells you the email address of Dina, who she's kind of, I think, in charge of the new service.
Just, Colin, does that tell you if people that, you know, besides the department heads that would be on that, if other people are on there?
Well, yeah.
I mean, if general public or somebody just watching.
The YouTube has 8 views on it right now. 1 or 2 might be from my office, so there's probably 6 or 7.
Let's see, Brandon's on there.
Well, that's the WebEx. That's separate from the YouTube live stream. So
we probably aren't close to monetizing that
YouTube channel. Not quite, so. Need to get some sponsored t-shirts for the board or something.
General Electric. Ford. General Motors.
We get roughly, I think between, it depends on the stream, but probably about 40, 50, somewhere in that ballpark average for views on the weekly board meeting, so, which is probably pretty good.
Yeah. Are those just people trying to get some sleep?
Who's he looking at?
Roughly 9 to 10 o'clock at night.
Is out of order.
It's a board family member.
Family reunion.
Jim, it's Lisa Schaefer. I got an answer to your question on the firearm simulator. The Burlington Police Department already has it. Burlington, West Burlington PDs and the Sheriff's Office all have immediate access to it, and other agencies can use it upon request and approval of the police department.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. See, no comments. With an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.